We are just highly, highly invested as far as our time and resources into our markets. And when we do that, we can create strong relationships there. We visit our markets. We've become good friends with a lot of the people in our markets. And we like doing business and we want people to know who we are.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
What's going on, everyone? I'm Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. Today, we got a great Multifamily Money episode talking with a good friend of mine. She is an investor in multifamily, but she also owns her own design firm called ROI by Design, where she works with, one, her own properties that she invests with her passive investors, but also other operators and syndicators to create a branding strategy for the property. Because as I've talked about before, part of what we do as value-add multifamily investors is we are renovating, improving the property. And we don't just go in there without a game plan. We have a game plan set forth how we're going to create, one, a better place for the tenants to live, but two, a cost-effective strategy that will be great for our investors as well. So her design firm comes in, talks with the investor what they're looking for, and then creates a kind of template, a design template strategy to go in there. Anything from the types of finishes you want, color scheme, logos, the signage, all of that stuff. And she and her team produce that for investors, and they're very good at it. And so we dive into that aspect and why it's so important when it comes to investing to have a game plan like that. And also just develop a brand that you're known for. Like for me, like, oh, this is a Greenbrier project. This is a Greenbrier property. This is somewhere I want to live. Oh, that's somewhere I want to invest in. And that is so important. That's something I think is really overlooked by a lot of investors. So we talk about that. And we also talk about her company, Greenlight. There's a previous episode, I believe it's episode 3, with Tate Seamer, who's a good friend of mine. He's the CEO of Greenlight. And Chelsea is a partner with Tate in Greenlight. And they invest in Columbus, Ohio and Oklahoma City. So we talk about today how they focus, hyper-focus on two markets, which is a very different than a lot of investors, syndicators who are just looking for good deals and good markets all over the place. We talk about how focusing on two markets has really led them to hyper-growth in their company because they've been able to establish deep, strong relationships with people in those markets that have allowed them to go from essentially, I think it was 20 units 12, 18 months ago to over 500, which is crazy good growth for starting a multifamily investment company. So it's a really good episode. I think you're all really going to enjoy it. I know I did. So let's introduce Chelsea. Hey, Chelsea, how are you today?
I'm great, Sean. Pleasure being with you, as always.
Hey, it's a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to join us. So let's just give the listeners a little background. Who is Chelsea? What's her background? How did she get into real estate? And what are you doing today within landscape?
So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Chelsea Garber. I was born and raised in New York and now am residing in Park City, Utah. So if you can see my background here, if you're watching, this is a Deer Valley mountain, my ski mountain right behind us. As I mentioned, born and raised in New York, my actually professional background is interior design and construction. So that has ultimately led me really to multifamily. It's just a passion for construction and design and always wanting to be an owner and operator.
That's awesome. And the whole design thing, the big kind of buzz term in style of investing in multifamily right now is value add. And usually it's like people talk, oh yeah, we're going to put in some LVP floors, new lighting, cabinets, hardware, blah, blah, blah. But they never actually talk about like what is the method behind the madness, the whole like kind of branding. Why do that? What's the game plan? And I know that's where you come in, your company comes in, or one of your companies comes in to play. So if you could just expand on that and why it is so important to actually have a game plan and not just go in there guns a-blazing and just fix things just to think you're going to get like an upside. So if you could jump into that, it'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, I have multiple businesses, a full-time partner at Greenlight Equity Group, and we are based here in Salt Lake City, Utah, and we acquire largely C, B minus properties that require value add. And by value add, we mean typically they're undercapitalized. There's no management in play. So we'll come in and kind of clean up shop. And alongside, we work with my design firm. So a fully integrated, vertically integrated is ROI by design. And what ROI by design stands for, return on investment, we solely focus on these opportunities to increase your, not only your profits, but ultimately create beautiful living environments for your communities. And I think it all starts with aesthetic and design. And it's something that is, I think, most definitely underlooked. And, you know, really the niche is particularly, I would say, the C class space where we can create the most value, particularly on a budget. And our belief is that everyone should be able to live in a place that is clean and safe and aesthetically pleasing. As we all know, we're living in a very stressful world at this time, and nothing's more important than, I think, our home environment. So we create solutions for property owners and their residents that are within budget, targeted to your community, your demographic. And we come in and put together sort of a full exterior, interior package of materials, as well as branding and signage and amenity spaces and furnishings, you name it. It's really a turnkey company. And our specialty is working with investors, because being an investor and owner and operator myself, we really understand what goes into making these properties successful. And really, ROI by design says, hey, we're not saying to spend any more money. We're just saying within your budget, let us curate a look that is specific to your asset and just make sure you're getting the highest return on your investment.
No, that's great. And it's true. The pandemic has really highlighted that the home is kind of a sanctuary for people, and they want it to be a place that they're obviously comfortable to go to, but proud to go back to, and just a place they want to spend time. So if I was an investor, I am an investor, but if I came with you, to you with 100 plus units, we need to completely rebrand this property. What are some things you would be asking me and my group, kind of like what you would need to know to try to like establish a new brand for that property?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, we want to understand what your plans are as owners and operators. We want to understand, again, your clientele, what is your budget? And it really starts from the outside working in, curb appeal being number one. When you meet a person, there's only, you make up your mind in a couple seconds of what your impression is. So everything from exterior paint colors to the landscaping, updated lighting, and of course, super, super important signage and branding. You want to create a community. It has to be cohesive from not only the name, but the colors and the materials and the flow. So we would establish that. What is the name of your property? Are you renaming the property? Do you have particular colors in mind? And we would go ahead and start with the outside and put together renderings with detailed finishes and materials and just get really in sync as to what we're creating here. And that follows directly then inside to the interiors. Just because your contractor has access to gray LVP and wants to paint the walls gray, that doesn't necessarily mean that's what is the best solution. And honestly, I think it's probably dated at this point. And we believe that we should be translating luxury A-class finishes into affordable, like all solutions, whether it's B or C-class. It doesn't matter what the dollar amount is. There's different finishes available within all price ranges. So, you know, that's sort of our goal, is how can we be a little bit more forward thinking and conscious for, you know, people that might not be able to afford an A or B-class housing market, but they can certainly live in a C class and still have the look and feel. And that makes people happy, and you retain better tenants, and it just all trickles down.
You're right about, you got to start on the outside, because people judge a book by its cover, whether it's good or not. That's just what they do. And you got to walk by a lot of things before you get into that unit. So if you're just starting with, if you think you can just upgrade the unit itself, it's not really the case, because you're not going to get the right people to walk in from the beginning. So that's really important. I think that's where a lot of investors miss out. They just focus solely on the inside of that unit when they should be allocating resources to the outside. Because I know when I drive up to a property, that's one, it's the first thing you see, but I already get a feeling when I see that property before I even step foot in the unit that you'd actually live in. So I'm glad you brought that up. Hey, if you want to add, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, and just equally as important, right, is to continue that feeling throughout. So throughout the units, into the hallways, any common spaces, just having a really cohesive look and feel, and knowing that you really spent time and paid attention to some of these details, they can really go a long way. And like I said, it sets your project up for success. Because when you go next door and the property manager has picked all the same finishes and materials for that property as they have all of their other properties, you know, what is truly setting your property aside? I mean, of course, your management, perhaps. There's other factors. It all has to go hand in hand. But design is so extremely important to our day-to-day lives and well-being.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you a question on that, because you're right. The grays are so in right now, to the point where, like you said, it's probably out of date. And I see it, like, I have properties in the Northeast that are using the grays. I have properties in the Southeast that are using the grays. So do you think it's smarter to not really, like, I understand why they did it. You mentioned this. It's construction management, your property management. They have this stuff on inventory, so it's cheaper to go that route. But do you think it's smarter from a branding, from an investment standpoint, to kind of brand based on the market you're in, not necessarily from the economies of scale that your management company has these resources or what they may think is popular?
I think it's kind of a twofold question. I think a lot of it is market specific, but most of the markets are trending in the same direction. And I definitely agree. And I know with our own properties is we're all about economies of scale, but we're scaling more forward thinking in the newer products, right? Not the grays and whatnot. So for example, for flooring, we're gearing a little bit more towards something a little bit lighter, kind of more neutral. You want to call it grayish. You've seen it in a lot of these modern homes, the white walls, kind of like a lighter oak floor. So replicating something that's a little bit lighter and brighter and cleaner versus dark gray floors, light gray walls, white cabinets, gray box bash. But again, it goes back to, like you said, a really great point. If there's this economy of scale and you're in one market building a portfolio, have your property manager or contractor show you other resources of materials that you can start buying in bulk and do that for a couple of years and then change. There's no need that everything needs to match, but that is a valid point.
Yeah, I think that's a good point too. Like within that concentrated market, you can create economies of scale within just that market, which will help you financially, but also set yourself apart, whereas just doing it nationally. But you mentioned your units, and I definitely want to talk about this. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Greenlight has over 500 doors now. Is that correct?
As of this week, that is correct.
That's amazing.
So we have a large and growing presence in Oklahoma City and Columbus, Ohio, which has been just got on this rocket ship in the last year and really taken off in both cities and expanding and turning around some distressed properties and what are going to be great communities. And it's really exciting to be a part of change on a larger scale than what I've done in the past.
That's so cool. And listeners, Tate Seymour, who's also part of Greenlight, was on, I believe, the third episode of this show. So if you haven't listened to that one, go back. It was a great one. So I've known Tate and Chelsea for a few years now, and they went from 20 doors last summer, as in 2020, to now over 500 doors in just a little over a year, which is insane growth. So how did it happen? I know that we could probably talk for a few hours about this, but like, just give us the kind of 30,000 foot view of what it took to accomplish that.
I will say there was a lot leading up to it. We didn't just get into multifamily and get on the rocket ship. There were lots of little steps, years in the making. Tate and I and Carl are also our, Tate and Carl are the founding partners of Greenlight. I joined Greenlight about a year ago, a little over a year ago. And I had met Tate at Michael Blanc's conference two summers ago. Kept in touch. I was sort of new into multifamily. He was new into multifamily. At that point, we had both targeted some markets we were interested in. And we kind of just kept in touch. And then when the opportunity arose this summer to potentially join forces, it's really kind of like when the magic started happening. And I attribute that to putting together a solid team. For the years prior to that, I kind of was going at it thinking I could maybe do it on my own or take down some smaller deals. And what I did do is I built great relationships in the Oklahoma market with brokers and property managers and other investors. And I really set a foundation so that when we did have great deal flow and capital, it all came together and things took off. So a lot to get to where we are today, which I know some people talk about and others don't. I'd say more people do than they don't. But from the outside, I'd say anybody new getting into this is patience and persistence and just put one foot after the next and tiny bits of effort day in and day out. As you know, Sean, it comes together. And when it does, it explodes.
Yes, it takes a lot of patience. There's days you're going to doubt yourself and question, what are you doing? And then there's days where you're going to think you're a rock star. And then hopefully you come to the happy medium somewhere.
Sometimes all on the same day.
Yeah, within like an hour.
Seriously.
I love your guys' story. And yeah, Tate and Carl are amazing people, both investors and just human beings. And as well as same with Chelsea here. And I think it's important to note, listeners, that like she said, it doesn't just all come together, just jump on the rocket ship. And it's all about relationships. And I can't stress mm-hmm. that enough. Chelsea, I think you said you've been building relationships in that market, Oklahoma City, for over a year. And
more, over two and a half years. Yeah.
So she'd been planting those roots in that market. And that's what I really like what Greenlight is doing. There's a lot of syndicators and operators that are just looking for deals in all the hot markets. But you, as in Greenlight, have decided these two markets, Oklahoma City, Columbus, Ohio, are the two markets you want to target and focus all your efforts on because they're great from a demographic standpoint, great to find value add properties. They're not, it's still a competitive market, don't get me wrong, but in terms of not these insane sub-4, mm-hmm. sub-3 cap rates that you're seeing in some coastal cities. So I think it's really smart that you've focused on two markets and then you've built these like deep lasting relationships that are just going to feed you deals, feed you opportunities. So if you could kind of just touch a little more on how you guys kind of operate like that, like who are you trying to build relationships with and what does that kind of look like and how has that brought everything together?
Very obviously market specific. We do not look at pretty much anything outside of our two markets. We don't even really shop in our backyard here of Salt Lake, just because, as you know, cap rates are so compressed. There's just not the scale. It just doesn't really cross off most of our check, most of our boxes, I would say. By the three of us, and obviously we have, in addition, we have some other people on our team that do some marketing and some interns and whatnot. We are just highly, highly invested as far as our time and resources into our markets. And when we do that, we can create strong relationships there. We visit our markets. We've become good friends with a lot of the people in our markets. And we like doing business and we want people to know who we are. And we're in the midst of, we just closed on a couple of properties and we're working on our signage and branding and obviously ROI by design. My team is doing that. And one of the things that we've kind of like tagged is on our signage is like, this is a green light community. So, cause we're creating communities and that's really important to us is not just to have 500 plus doors in a little over a year, but to create really great living environments and great returns for our investors. Those are the two most important things.
That's huge. And that's smart to put the branding on each building because you're further promoting that branding. Because I know you guys are going to do a phenomenal job from a management operations standpoint. So one day it's going to be like, I'm in this new market. I want to live at a green light property that's managed by mm-hmm. them. That's great. Awesome to hear you guys are doing that. And I think more investors should do that. Well, if they're good at operating, maybe not so much if they're not, because you will get that. But I know you guys are phenomenal operators. So that's very smart. And listeners, just we were talking about cap rates. And for those that aren't familiar with the term, it's simply just the relationship between the price, so the acquisition price, the price you're going to buy the property, and then the net operating income, the NOI that it spits off, just the relationship between the two. And we were saying 4% or less just means you have to pay up to get the certain amount of net operating income. Like I mentioned before, it's essentially a business. Each property is its own business. So you're buying that NOI. In markets like Salt Lake, your San Francisco's, New York's, Boston's, they're super low because it's like one, a competitive market because of just everything, demographics, people moving there, jobs moving there. So they'll pay more for that NOI than you would say in a market maybe like an Oklahoma or a Columbus or other any other market that's not one of the top tier ones. However, doesn't mean it's not a good investment. It's just what Chelsea and I look for and what Greenlight and I look for is we want it to be able to cash flow from day one, mm-hmm. be able to pay our investors a return from day one. And it's hard to do that when you get into those low of cap rates. So it's still a good investment if you have a different criteria. Maybe it's you're looking for long-term appreciation, then something like a Salt Lake, a New York, a San Francisco is a great investment. If you're looking for cash flow, not so much. Don't mean to take up your
no,
time.
No, not
on the
at
podcast.
All.
But what's next for Greenlight? Is it solely just to focus within those markets, I'm assuming, and grow the door count? And
yeah, I mean, the team is growing, the portfolio is growing. So just really honing in on our systems and processes and fine tuning our relationships with our brokers and property managers. Next step is going to be hiring a project sort of coordinator, kind of like a high level executive assistant to come on board. After that, once we probably hit the 1,000, 1,500 doors, we'll do asset manager, take some stuff off of our plate. It's really easy to get caught up working in the business, not on the business. So we have a meeting on Friday and it's going to just be talking about working on the business because we've all been scrambling inside of it. And it's so common in this business and like any small business, we're definitely expanding, not just our properties and our portfolios, but sort of our mindset and ongoing education, learning something new every day and just taking it one day at a time and thinking about the big picture. And by this, I think May of 2021, the goal is to have 1,000 doors in Oklahoma City and 1,000 doors in Columbus. And Tate says it all the time. I say it all the time. Carl says it. We share a vision. We share goals. And we say these out loud to be accountable. And if we can meet that, that's amazing. If we can surpass it, that's even greater. And if we come close, that's great too. But setting goals is so important and updating your goals.
That's amazing. Speak it into existence. Mm-hmm. And like Chelsea said, they do say it. I've heard Tate say this a lot on all different types of platforms. And it's true. Hold yourself accountable to you're putting it out into the world. So people know what you're looking for. And I think that's so important and something that is extremely overlooked. Like if you constantly tell people what you're doing, what you're looking for, if that comes across their radar, they're going to immediately think of you. And instead of, you know, I always say when you see someone, instead of being like, hey, how are you? And you just say good. Be like, I'm great. I am on a mission to get 1,000 doors mm-hmm. in Oklahoma City and 1,000 doors in Columbus, Ohio. One, they're going to be like, wait, what are you talking about? And then you can explain and further marketing yourself and getting your message across. But two, they're going to think about that and be like, wait, I should connect you with so-and-so. I know someone who owns some units over here. So that's a great point. And it's something I need to get better on because our goal is by this time next year is to be at 1,000 doors. Mm-hmm. So that's something I need to be broadcasting more.
I highly recommend a book called The Vivid Vision. It's all about, you know, setting goals and living them and talking about them. You want to get everybody on board with your vision. Cause then, like you said, when it comes to mind, like, oh, I know Greenland's looking for 1,000 doors. Like they get excited too. So they want to help you get there. Right. And vice versa. So speak it, as you said, like manifest it and speak about it and hold yourself accountable every day.
That's awesome. And I know you guys are going to get that target cause you haven't missed one yet. So I'm looking forward to watching the journey.
Yep. There's always like everything else. It's like what you see on the outside is good. And then behind the scenes, there's deals that are falling apart that we've been working on. And it's hard work for sure. This is not a get rich quick business.
Oh, no.
This is a long-term, again, I will say it over and over again, like patience and persistence wins this race. So although we're scaling at this rate, we're doing so consciously and our returns are still always as important as ever as our residents. So we kind of joke, we're like, we get paid last and the least.
Yeah.
Being a passive investor is the best seat in the house. So
in this market, it sure is.
Yeah, I know people always ask me, they think they're like, I've had so many people reach out to me now that they've kind of seen some of the success that we've had and want to get into real estate. And I'm happy to share the good and the bad, but I'm like, listen, if you've got $50,000 or $100,000 sitting around and a full W-2 job, you're not looking to leave, like, go invest that passively.
Exactly. Yeah. You can get a way better return and less stress, a lot less stress.
Totally.
That's a great point. Something that needs to be brought up more because obviously from, like you said, it's not always what it seems. It's the whole, the duck is calm on the top of the water, but below the little feet are kicking 100 miles per hour. And it's true. It looks like sexy and cool to be a real estate investor. And for some aspects it is, but then there's a lot of times where you're not sleeping well at night, it feels like your hair is turning gray, which mine, it's not just a feel, it's actually turning gray, but...
I can't see it from here. You're good by me.
The angles. But yeah, it's one of those things that takes a certain type of person. But again, it's like, would you rather have 100% of a million or 10% of 100 million? And that's what you guys are doing. Yeah, you're not making a lot as much as maybe you'd like per deal, but you're scaling to produce the type of lifestyle that you want. And in turn, you're creating a great lifestyle for your investors. So my question is, you guys are scaling fast. Obviously, you have a solid team. within Greenlight and you're going to be hiring, but just from like a management perspective of the properties themselves, you guys, third party property management, in-house combination, how are you kind of dealing with the scaling when it comes to that?
Yeah, so we are third property management all day, every day. There's no plans to do anything in-house at this moment, given that we're based in Utah and our properties are in Ohio and Oklahoma. Although they're not too far, we are not going to be everyday boots on the ground people. So for us, our most important member of our team is our property manager. And we know them, we like them, we trust them, and we're very close with them. So having them on board, I think they're probably can be your best asset or your weakest asset. And you'll know really quickly which direction it's going in. And I will say that as owners and operators, you have to be on top of them all the time, no matter how good they are. And that's part of our daily job. And at some point we will have an asset manager, but for right now, we feel as though we're still building these relationships. And it's so important to know the ins and the outs of our property managers and working closely with them so they understand our standards and what we expect, and vice versa. So definitely third-party property management. And they're hard to come by. I mean, mm-hmm. I had interviewed many in the market. It's a tough business to be in generally, especially now with shortage of labor and whatnot. It's hard to find good people, but yeah, definitely super important. I would, if always in any market for anybody who's maybe new to the business, go interview at least 3 different property managers, talk with them through acquisition phase, have them help you look at underwriting and numbers, and definitely get reference checks. Go look at, if you're in your area, go look at their other communities. How do they look? It's going to be a reflection of what yours might look like. So that kind of stuff. Do your due diligence for sure.
I couldn't agree more. Management can make or break a deal. It doesn't matter what you acquired it for or what your game plan is. They'll make it or break it. And agree. Definitely interview multiple. Don't just interview one and think this is your one to go with. You want to get many different perspectives and views. And it's very important. So, well, Chelsea, thank you for adding that. But I have 2 questions before I let you go. You've kind of hit on this one, but why multifamily real estate and what kind of life has it created for you? What kind of life do you see it creating for you in the future? And then I'll ask you the second question.
Multifamily, coming from obviously an interior design construction, I owned multiple firms, both in New York and Los Angeles, and was really focused on residential and sort of segued into commercial towards the end of my design career before ROI by design came to life. And being in the multifamily space, you're able to impact so many more people on such a larger scale and across the nation, whereas the single family was very specific to, quite frankly, just wealthy individual families who I love and care for. But this for me has just been so much more rewarding. So to be able to bring Greenlight Equity to the table and ROI by design and put those two together and create these incredible communities and opportunities is more than I ever dreamed of, really, and just a great synergy. So multifamily and just the scalability, right? As far as not only helping others, but capital-wise, right? At the end of the day, we're all in this. There is money involved. So being able to create long-term generational wealth, I think is, for me, passive income, truthfully, us to go enjoy the things that we like to do. I think our greatest resource, skiing, horseback riding, mountain biking. I was reading a book recently, and I think it was Atomic Habits, or I'm not sure which one. I've been reading a couple, like rotating between a few. And one of the things that they said is, what do people want most? And it's, they want control. And you want control of your time, your life. And if you're in a control, usually it comes down to money. So who's controlling what here? And being able to have control over your time is great joy. And to get to, again, do the things that you love. So that was a long answer.
No, that was a great answer. And I think that hits on the point of the show, which is about, you know, financial freedom, how to build that wealth and that passive income, but how to then put that money to work for you, because it's not what you make, but what you keep. And I think when a lot of people, financial freedom, they think of it, it's that money aspect. What it really comes down to is the time freedom. That's what your real goal is. It's just the money part of it gets you to that time freedom. It's what provides that. So glad you brought that up, because that's what I'm in search of. I want the time freedom and the flexibility to do what I want with who I want, when I want. So the last question pertains to that. If you could go back in time and tell your younger self one piece of financial advice, what would that be?
I mean, it would have been start investing earlier. My boyfriend actually was telling me the other day that for Christmas a couple of years ago, he started giving his kids, and they're a little bit older now, 14 and 15, rather than extravagant Christmas gifts, him and his ex-wife are taking money and putting it into like the stock market for them. I was like, how cool is that? Like you're setting up for success at an early age. And imagine if you had done that much earlier, right? Whether it been as a gift or personally, because I feel like we have so much stuff and nobody needs all of this stuff, but how thankful would you be in 20 years from now and you're in a pinch and you need to pull money out of a market or out of a property or something for a health issue, who knows? So to be able to have that nest egg and start early, and I know it's easier said than done because we're all struggling at a young age to just survive. But I would say it's like everything else compounds. So start small and watch it grow.
That's great. That's one of my favorite answers yet. I think that's a great idea. And
I know, right? It's like, I'm going to do that.
Right? Well, one, it's going to provide them something down the road in monetary value, but also teaches them, like, put your money to work. Don't just go spend it on some material item. So I think that's phenomenal. And so thank you for sharing that. Where can the listeners find out more about Chelsea Greenlight and ROI by Design?
I would say first and foremost, probably LinkedIn, just Chelsea Garber. Facebook, you can look up our business, glequitygroup.com, for if you're interested in learning more about our boutique investment firm. If you want to jump on and listen to some of the podcasts, The Apartment Guys, which Tate hosts, is, you know, my partner, which is great. And then ROI by Design. Also, we're sort of all over Facebook, Instagram, both my personal pages and business. And we work with investors nationwide on all size projects. Nothing's too big, nothing's too small. So if you need some help there, we'd always be happy to engage and spread the love and make another community great.
Awesome. Well, I'll put all that in the show notes and definitely check Chelsea Greenlight and ROI by Design out. And Tate's podcast is phenomenal as well. So give it all a look. And Chelsea, I really appreciate your time. And listeners, we'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is an investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and, of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.